So I got sick this week. In case you didn't know, it started on Wednesday, which said that it basically it knocked me down on Thursday, and I spent Thursday, Friday, and Saturday laying on my couch watching TV. When I was younger, staying home sick meant that my mom would make me, pretty much force feed me, ginger ale and saltine crackers. As an adult, I still eat saltine and ginger ale and now supplement with a lot of chicken noodle soup. I used to watch The Price is Right with Bob Barker when I was home from school. Now when I'm home from school, now that there's Netflix, it turns out when I'm sick, I sit home and watch NCIS. And so I've probably watched 3 seasons of NCIS this week because that's all that I watch, and it was just on constantly. And I love NCIS, and I was reading about it that it has just been approved and is currently its 17th season. Mark Harmon as Special Agent Leroy Jethro Gibbs is an amazing actor. And because I watched so much of it, we're talking 30 episodes? 60 episodes? I don't know. I watched a lot of NCIS. And so maybe it's because I've watched so much, but when I was reading and meditating on the scripture this week, I was thinking, what would the team do if they were in Jerusalem with Jesus? How would this play out if it was an NCIS episode? My sermon's not going to be about NCIS, I promise you. But what I do find interesting, and after you've watched 3 seasons of it back to back, it's never the person you most suspect. It's usually the person who you saw earlier in the episode who came back later, and Gibbs always finds out, and they're the ones who did it. And so the scripture this morning, I think, is kind of similar in the sense that the story doesn't go the way we'd expect it to go. And instead, Jesus takes us on a side path that is very disconcerting and very confusing, and I think speaks to our situation really aptly. And maybe it's a little bit like NCIS. So if we remember last week, Jesus and the disciples were in the land of the Gerasenes. They were across the sea in this Gentile land. Jesus had healed the man who was possessed by the demons. This week, they crossed the sea again, and they land, and a crowd of people surround him. And this man, this if it was NCIS, it'd be the admiral. This man, Jairus, the head of the temple, the elite of the elite, the rich of the rich, comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, my daughter is dying. If you lay one hand on her, she will be healed." And then so Gibbs tells the team, you know, "Come on, we gotta go." Jesus says to the disciples, "Let's go, let's follow him to Jairus' house." They start walking, and Jairus, the head of the temple, is important enough that this rabbi is going immediately. And so what happens is, along the way, this woman who has been sick for 12 years, who has lost all of her money going to doctors to try to find diagnoses and treatment, this woman sees Jesus and sneaks through the crowd and reaches out and grabs just the hem of his robe and is healed. And then Jesus stops and turns and looks around and says, "Someone touched me. Who was it?" And the disciples in verse, I think it's verse 23, they say, "What do you mean someone touched you? Do you see how many people are around? And you ask, who touched me? The crowds are pressing on us. Let's go to Jairus' house. Let's go to the leader of the synagogue's house. Why are we stopping?" And Jesus doesn't budge. He says, "Someone touched me. And I want to see who it is." So the woman comes out of the crowd. She says, "It was me. I knew if I touched your robe that I would be healed." And Jesus says, "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace." And then we see that the servants of Jairus, these members of his household, come and they say, "Jairus, your daughter has died. You waited too long and your daughter has died. Don't bother the teacher anymore." And so the story continues, but I think we're going to pause for a second because because I can't imagine Jarius's face. This is when in NCIS you see that kind of black and white cutscene where they're like, and he's looking all angry at Jesus. This is a man who was the head of the temple. He was the ruling class. A man who waited for this rabbi to go to the Gentile land, the unclean land. Jairus is probably looking at Jesus and saying, you wasted all that time going across the sea and coming back, healing one guy and killing 2,000 pigs. I came to you and I said, please come and heal my daughter. She is dying. And you're going to stop and talk to this penniless, poor, unclean woman. And then, on the way to go and heal my daughter, and I know that you would have healed her, on the way, you stopped and talked to this woman, and my daughter died. My daughter died, and I think Jairus was probably a little upset. I think Jairus was a little upset because he says, I'm the head of the synagogue. I'm the head of the temple. I'm rich. I'm powerful. I had faith that you would heal my daughter. What gives? It's, we know the rest of this story. We know that Jesus comes and rescues the little girl and raises her from the dead. But I think the real question here and the question that is on our hearts this morning is that why are some people healed and others die? Why do some children die and others are raised from death? I think that's the question that is on Jairus' mind. I think that is the question that is on our mind. Jairus had as much faith as the woman did. He came to Jesus. He bowed before Jesus. He said, teacher, if you will lay but one hand on my daughter, she will live. Why was that woman healed, but not my daughter? Why, when I pray for healing, did it not come? Why sometimes when we pray for healing, does nothing happen? Why when we have faith, sometimes nothing happens? In youth group last week, we talked about communion. We talked about the mystery of faith. The one that we all proclaim once a month, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. That there are these mysteries of our faith that we can't define, that we can't answer, that the life and death and resurrection of Jesus is one of them. I submit that one of the mysteries, or maybe one of the struggles, or maybe one of the things that we wrestle with our faith, is this question of why do some people get healed and other people die? Why do some children get raised from the dead and some die? And this isn't about value or worth. This isn't how come good things happen to bad people. How come I have faith and you have faith and you are healed, but I am not? This is a struggle. This is a problem. This is what keeps us up late at night. And there is no good answer. And I think the text points to this, that there is no good answer for this. And that sometimes this happens and it keeps us up in the middle of the night. I was up until 3 a.m. last night. Not really sure why. I'm laying in bed, staring at the overhead fan, just spinning, willing myself to go to sleep, hoping that I'm going to go to sleep, especially to come in and preach on a head cold. There is something wrong, and we know that. There is something with our faith that we cannot answer. Why does this happen? Why, when we pray for healing, miracles do not come? Why, when we have faith, sometimes nothing happens? And I think maybe we have to look at what Jesus is doing from a different angle. Last week, Jesus was with the demon-possessed man in Gerasene, who no one could control, no one could overpower. He was beyond humanity. He comes back to the Jewish lands this week. He meets with a woman who had been sick for 12 years.
ostracized from the community, unclean, who doctors had stolen all of her money. She was beyond help and beyond healing. Jesus comes to Jairus' daughter, this little girl who was 12 years old, who died and no one could help. She was beyond life. Jesus comes to a land that has been overrun and controlled by the Romans, oppressed, and no one could help. They were beyond freedom. God sometimes acts exactly how we expect. Those who are in need of miracle receive a miracle. But other times, like most NCIS episodes, it's not the person who needs a miracle who gets a miracle. Jesus comes and shows that God is not done. He is not done with either the woman in the story. He's not done with the man who is demon-possessed. He is not done with Israel. He is not done with us. God is still performing miracles, and maybe if we're like the woman, that the miracle is evident. Maybe we just need to reach out and grab the very robe of Jesus and the miracle will be evident. But maybe we're like Jairus and it feels like others have miracles performed and we've gotten nothing. Maybe we're like the young girl who was dead and felt like miracles were too far gone and yet still received a miracle. Maybe we believe in miracles and like in verse 40, people are laughing at us. Maybe we're like the demon-possessed man and we've given up hope. Maybe we're like Israel and the system has kept us down, or maybe the system has caused us to give up hope. But what the message is telling us today, what our faith is telling us today, is that Jesus is showing us that God is bigger and stronger and more creative than we can ever imagine. The rules of the world do not work for him. He conquers death for Jairus' daughter. He heals the woman that doctors had stolen all of her money. He performs miracles today. In this church, in this community, in Warren County, it's possible we won't see healing like the woman who bled for 12 years did. It's possible that our prayers for a miracle will go unanswered. But the whole point of our faith is not just in a temporary healing. Our faith is in a God who's more powerful than that. In a God who loves us, who wants us to follow us, who wants us to get up and find him, to get up and to journey into that crowd, to reach into the unknown and to go out and to try to grab his robe, because maybe the world doesn't work the way we think it works. Because maybe a miracle won't look how we expect it. Maybe the miracle won't come when we want it, but when it does happen, when Jesus does turn to us, when Jesus faces us like he faced that woman in the crowd, when he grabs us and says, daughter, son, your faith has healed you. Maybe what he wants is for us to stand and to reach out and to touch him. Maybe what he wants is our faith to know that even if our miracles do not come the way we expect them to, that everything will change when he does call us by name. But the dark times of the soul, the times that we wait for these miracles and we do not receive answers, the times when we look out and we know that others are receiving miracles that we are not, when our bodies are breaking and deteriorating, when we are not receiving healing that we expect, we know that we go to the dark place. We know that we go to a point where faith feels like a glimmer. But what God wants, what our faith is in God, is that if we reach out in the crowd, if we go and outstretch our hand and grasp his robe, maybe we will be healed.
Thanks for listening to our sermon this week. This has been a joint Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Church process. My name is Pastor Jesse, the pastor of Broadway and Port Colden churches. We hope you've had a great time listening today and have a blessed week as you go about your day. Please think about stopping in and joining us one Sunday. We'd be happy to have you. If you have any questions about the churches, about the message, or anything else that you can think of, please reach out to us at info@broadwaynj.org or info@portcoldenumc.org. Thank you and have a great day.